Let's turn our faces to the sky and to the soil. The temperature is in the 40s in Boston, but it hit 61 yesterday, and it might reach the high 60s tomorrow. Is spring finally here? Or maybe I should say, please, oh please, somebody tell me spring is finally here. I know it might just be wishful thinking after a long pandemic winter, but I think we're ready to get outside, and that includes getting into the garden, no matter how big or small your garden may be. For the rest of the hour, we're going to talk about gardening, and we're going to take your questions. Are you gardening this spring and summer? Are you planting something somewhere? What is it? And what do you want to know about what to plant, how to plant, where to plant it, how to make it thrive? Maybe you're new, maybe you have a green thumb. Call with your questions. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. To answer said questions, we have WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein, who is also the horticulturist, I can't say that word, horticulturalist, not going to say it again, behind the website growingwisdom.com, and Patricia Spence, president and CEO of the Urban Farming Institute. Dave, Patricia, welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Dave, I'll turn to you. Is this the best time to get started growing? And if not, how close are we to that moment?
Yeah, it really depends on exactly what you're growing. So I have started things like onions already a couple of weeks ago inside. So, it is going to be cold here this weekend and next week. So it's a little early to be kind of digging in the garden unless you have some cover. So it's pretty easy. A couple of things you can do if you want to push the season a little bit. Take like a little milk jug or something like that, cut the bottom, invert it. And you can make like a little greenhouse over part of your garden. And you could plant some seeds under there, things like lettuce. You could put in some spinach now. You could try some peas here. I might wait until after Tuesday of the upcoming week, use this weekend to kind of plan things and then get into the garden next week. It's still a little bit early, but it does look like things are thawed out enough that some of those very early things can go into a vegetable garden.
And Dave, just so we know, why after Tuesday?
So we do have some cold air coming in here over the weekend. As you mentioned at the beginning of this, it is going to be very warm here tomorrow, getting into the 60s. I think we're in the 60s again as we head for Friday. We're back into the 40s in the weekend, and we may stay in the 30s with temperatures in the 20s and teens in the morning on Monday of Tuesday of next week. And that's just too cold. Even something like pansies, which you can get at a garden center right now, which adds some color early in the season, you don't want to put them out with that kind of cold because they're just going to get whacked and the blossoms are going to get whacked. So I'd wait a little bit.
So Pat, I'm going to turn to you. I know the Urban Farming Institute is focused on farming. And Dave was just talking about maybe starting your plants inside, maybe a few things outside. Let's say somebody hasn't grown their own food before and they have limited space. What's maybe the first thing to plant that you can have some success with and enjoy tasting in your own home?
Well, again, look, let me make an interruption first. Dave, I looked at your website and I am going to try to do cauliflower this year. So I just want to say,
awesome.
Haven't tried that before. So for example, for a lot of new folks, some of my friends, et cetera, oftentimes I'll say, you can try the seeds. I mean, I'll be putting seeds in, for example, or you can wait till seedlings are available. So the Urban Farming Institute, we have already, we've got a brand new greenhouse. We've already planted so many seedlings, and most of them at this point are probably cool weather crops. So I'll cheat a bit. I won't do everything by seeds. I'll just go get those seedlings when they're ready. So what I normally start putting in the ground would be spinach, kale, and usually a couple of different varieties of kale, collard greens, and then I love peas. I absolutely love peas. Now, again, as David said, I will probably do a lot of this towards the end of the month at this point. I'm not in a rush. I don't want to hit a freeze. So usually by the end of the month, that's when my peas go in. But I do have some harvesting. I mean, we've got some beautiful pussy willow trees in the backyard, and March is actually the time that you actually cut those. So I've got some harvesting to do already. And this is the time, if I haven't quite turned that compost heap, which I tend to kind of forget about when it gets cold, it's time to start activating that and working on that composting scenario also.
All right, let's stack up a couple questions here. 800-423-8255. Let's take questions. We'll start with Alex in Roslindale. Alex, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've been gardening for a number of years in a couple of raised beds. And this year I wanted to try starting my seeds indoors for the first time. Never done that before. But I'm wondering if I'm too late. And based on where we are right now, what should I be starting indoors?
All right, thanks for that. And we'll get a second question, then we'll turn to our guests to answer them both. Will in Reading. Will, go ahead.
Hi. I've been gardening in Reading, Massachusetts for a couple of years now, and we are constantly doing battle with the soil in our yard. We're surrounded by these beautiful trees, but they're making everything really dry and hard, and it's really difficult to get anything to grow because the soil is just so hard and dry. I'm wondering what we could do to improve the soil quality in our garden beds.
Okay, great. So let's start. Patricia, I'll ask you to answer Alex's question. Is he too late to plant seeds inside? And if so, what should he be, you know, planting inside? Go ahead.
Well, no, I don't think so at all. And I used to, when I was brand new at all of this, I oftentimes would proverbially stick them in the window and hope the sun would work. So we don't do that anymore. You now get the appropriate lighting and the appropriate space. So you want to get specific lighting. That's worked the best for me. But I will be planting, for example, right now, a lot of my flowers, actually. Oftentimes I'll actually go and purchase seedlings at local farms to support our farms and our farmers. But oftentimes I'll start my marigolds and other flowers inside.
And so then Dave, and then thank you, Patricia. And then Dave, what about the super dry soil that Will is struggling with?
Yeah, so the super dry soil, I mean, one thing you can do is some raised beds. That tends to work really well. I mean, the problem is you have trees by a vegetable garden. The roots of those trees are always going to try to go into the soil close to the vegetable garden, and they are just going to suck the moisture out. So raised beds are great. Containers are great. If it's a sunny area, try to use big containers. You can get almost anything to grow in containers. And also to dovetail off, Patricia, it's definitely not too late at all. As a matter of fact, I'll start my tomatoes here in about 2 weeks. So tomatoes, peppers can be started in a couple of weeks. So it's actually too early to start some of that stuff, because what will happen is they'll be too big before they're ready to go outside, and they're going to get real leggy. So you don't want to start those yet. But things like onions, collards, kale, spinach can all be started right now inside, and you wait a little bit to move some things out.
So Patricia, I'm going to give you one that... No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to add to the raised bed. At the Urban Farming Institute, we actually have a raised bed program. We call it building grow boxes, and where we'll build a box on the concrete, we'll build a box in the backyard. And I've got a big backyard, and I have to be honest with you, even though I've got the big backyard, I love growing in boxes. There are less weeds, number one, over the summer. It's so easy to weed and manage and take care of. But you do have to constantly add bio-nutrients, though, to your boxes, particularly after you hit July. You've got to keep feeding that soil. It's all about feeding the soil. So I actually, even though I have the space, I love growing out of the boxes.
So I'm going to stay with you, Patricia. Fragile Foundry tweeted us a question at Radio Boston saying, my habaneros didn't do anything all last summer, but over the winter in a windowsill, they're going wild. What's up with that?
I won't even try to answer that one. I can't do that one. I don't know the answer. Dave,
do you have any thoughts?
I know it if I don't.
Dave, any thoughts on the habaneros in the windowsill?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, when he says they're going wild, are the plants doing wild, or is he actually getting peppers? I mean, if the plants are doing well, that's not really surprising, because you know, this time of the year, we've had more light. We've been getting light, really, for 3.5 months. So things tend to start growing a bit. They might have just been pent up from lack of something during the course of the growing season, and then he gave it to them during the course of being inside. So they're just growing a little bit better.
All right, I'm going to go back to the phones, grab a couple more questions that we can stack up. 800-423-8255. Kathy's on the line from Newburyport. Kathy, go ahead.
Thank you. I bought tulip bulbs really in late October, and of course put them in the shed, and they're still sitting there. Can I plant them tomorrow on a nice warm day, and maybe they'll bloom in May?
I hear the hope in your voice, Kathy. Let me grab one other question, and then we'll see if it's false hope or not. Let's grab Brett in Jamaica Plain. Brett, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? So I grew up gardening in the zone 4. And I would always have great success doing root vegetables like carrots and radishes and such. And here, for some reason, everything I put in the ground just bolts instantly. I try to water it. I try different things. What are some strategies that I can avoid bolting? and actually get a proper root vegetable out of it. Thanks.
Okay, so let's take the tulip bulbs question first to Dave Epstein. Is it too late for Kathy to plant them and get flowers this spring?
It depends on how cold it was in the shed. If the bulbs need cold weather, if they were cold, and I suspect they probably were, it's worth a try. Usually when you buy them, they're ready to bloom. You plant them in the ground in the fall, they'll put out some roots. So they might come out a little bit late, but yeah, it's definitely worth a try. I might put them in a container just to see, because if it doesn't work, I wouldn't want them in the ground, because then I'm just going to have to dig them up again.
All right. And Patricia, I'm going to go with Brett's question. And I'm also going to ask you to define some terms for the newbies who might be listening. Brett talked about gardening in zone 4. So what is that? And what zone are we? And then he said, how does he avoid bolting? So what is bolting? And how does he avoid it?
Well, just if I can talk about the bolting first, not so much for me. I mean, I have that happen as well. Number one, when it gets really, really hot in the summer, for example, lettuce, etc. If you do not watch your lettuce, just the heat, it will just madly start growing. And so, for example, if I look at lettuce, I will be tending to that lettuce all the time during the summer. Things like lettuce, they love cool weather crops. And the same thing actually has happened to me with the radishes as well. This was a very tough hot summer for us. A lot of our crops actually bolted due to the heat. We're hoping it's going to be a lot different on the farmer's end this year. There wasn't a lot that we could do, though. Even though we watered and we tended, it was just so hot. So I'm wondering if that might have been a factor for you as well.
And can you explain zones for our newest listeners? I know a lot of flowers, for example, talk about the zones that they're appropriate for and when. So can you explain that?
I actually will have to refer that one to Dave Epstein.
Dave, how about zones? What I know that the country's broken up into some kind of zones.
So we have plant zones across the area. Most of the listening area is zone 6-ish. Boston 7, then you've got 6B as you get just west of the city, 6A further west. And what that means is it's the lowest temperatures that are reached during the course of the winter. So, for example, 6B would be it doesn't get colder than between 0 and minus 10. 6A would be minus 10 to minus 20. That would be out towards Worcester. So when you look at a plant, and these are mostly the cases with perennials, trees, and shrubs, and you look at it, it says this is suitable for zone 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I tend to stick with zone 6 plants around here. Folks listening further south on Cape, you could probably push 6B or even a 7A plant. Certainly if you're west of 495, you want to stick with 6A or 5B plants as well, just because it gets cold. And the other thing about the bolting, I suspect that listener coming from zone 4, he probably needs to move up his planting time by about 4 to 6 weeks over what he's used to, and that'll help to slow the bolting down. We're able to start so much earlier here than in a zone 4, which would be up through central Maine, central New Hampshire, central Vermont. And if he's starting at the same time, that's one of the other reasons why it's going to bolt.
That's very helpful. Before I go back to the phones, Patricia, there's another question that I want to ask you. In your farming, I know one of the things that you think about are foods that are culturally appropriate. And I wonder, are there any foods from the various cultures of the markets that you support that were particularly good at growing because of our climate here in Massachusetts, and that you would encourage people to try in their raised box or their window or their backyard?
Well, it all depends on where you come from. I mean, if you look at Mattapan, where we're headquartered, it is a richly diverse part of the city. And if you're looking at folks, for example, my folks come from originally from Jamaica. And so Callaloo, the base is amaranth. And that is the green that we use when we make a dish. And so that grows profusely everywhere, Callaloo. You could cultivate it, though, in your backyard, and you can use it in all kinds of dishes. So that is something you can certainly grow very easily in this particular climate. Also, if you're from the Cape Verde area, Coosa squash is something that we grow from the farm, if that is your background and the particular crop that you enjoy. Ají dulces, and I might not be pronouncing it correctly, but that is a pepper that's used in sofritos. And so that's another key ingredient. Last year, we had a run on Trinidadian pimento peppers. Once folks found out we had them, we were wiped out. So the beauty of the farming that we do is that we're very much attuned to the types of things that kind of each culture grew up with. And again, for me, it was the callaloo plant.
Let's go back to the phones. Maybe one, maybe two more questions. Rosemary's calling from Salem. Rosemary, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was right now we have a small backyard. We just moved into our house and it's currently mud. And we want to plant some sort of, you know, ground cover, but grass is both boring and doesn't offer much for pollinators. So I was wondering if there's some alternative that you might suggest and when would be best to plant it.
Okay, and I'll put another question to pair with Rosemary there. We've got Jeff in Roxbury. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm a new homeowner, and so I'm a new lawn owner and wondering when to weed, when to seed, and when to feed my lawn.
There you go. Weed, seed, and feed. All right, so Patricia, Dave, does either of you want to answer either of those questions? Jump on in.
Well, we're farmers, so we don't do a lot with lawns. If I had a lawn, what I would say is grow vegetables and put some boxes on there and grow vegetables. Also, regarding
go.
Good. No, go
ahead. Well, I was going to say, to that point, what about pollinators? Are there vegetables that you can grow that are good for bees and other pollinators?
Oh, boy. Milkweed and butterfly plants and marigolds. And there are also certain certain herbs, for example, that you will grow to keep the, you know, bad bugs away. Certain herbs that you'll grow that will bring the good bugs in, like the ladybugs, etc. So it's a whole ecosystem that you can actually develop in your backyard.
So dill is really good for growing. Yeah. Dill's really good for some of the swallowtail butterflies. The caterpillars love it. So dill's a great plant. I usually grow enough of it so that I can have my own and give some to the caterpillars. In terms of the lawn, ajuga is a good short kind of plant that has some flowers that will flower later in the summer or later in the spring. So that's a nice ground cover. Liriope is a good ground cover if you're looking for something that's going to give some flower. If you're not going to be walking on it, if you just want something low that's kind of low maintenance and you don't have to mow. I would stay to the question about her new garden. I would stay out of wet soil. If you can hold soil together with your hand and it's sort of shiny, stay away from it. Don't play with it because it's just going to make it much harder when it dries out. Wait till it dries out enough that it still sticks together a little bit, but it has to lose its sheen before you really want to work with soil.
So I don't think we've got the weed, feed, and seed answer on lawn care, but hopefully we can pick that up in a different show. I know we did one of those last spring and got a lot of good calls on that one, too. This has been just such a treat, such a joy, especially, you know, it's a tough time. And to have people give us a chance to grow, to see the beauty and enrich our bodies, it's wonderful to have this advice. We've been speaking with Patricia Spence, President and CEO of the Urban Farming Institute, and WBUR meteorologist David Epstein, who is also the horticulturalist, and I did say it again, behind the website Growing Wisdom. Dave and Patricia, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.